I want to take a little snapshot of Western civilization, and you know, it's only a couple thousand years worth of history that I'm going to do in, you know, the next 5 hours, next 5 minutes. But we can see the work of the Holy Spirit in and through His people shaping the culture, yes, in Western civilization. We can also see the work of the enemy to undermine Western Christian civilization. So for the first 300 years, the church grew very rapidly and under the worst of circumstances, official government persecution, the slaughter of the Christians, the burning of their literature was unprecedented, unparalleled. The first official Christian nation, do you guys know what it was? Armenia. And that was in the third century. And then in the fourth century, the eastern leg of the Roman Empire became a Christian nation, and then Rome itself. When the Edict of Tolerance by Constantine ended the official government persecution, the church grew and prospered like never before, but it also started adopting more worldly processes. Is that fair? So the thing that happened next, to me, is what is concerning in the church. The church grew in political influence to the point that it became the persecutor rather than the persecuted. The rising papal power enabled popes to muster multinational armies for military campaigns such as the Crusades. This kind of conduct is extremely difficult to justify using Scripture as your cultural and moral model. So you know me, I'm very conservative, I'm ultra MAGA, I'm whatever you want to call me. And I believe we should vote and we should do our part, but we are not a political institution. Does that make sense? So we're in this great country, the United States, but not of it. So as a result, Western Europe slipped into the Dark Ages. Movements such as the Enlightenment and other liberal philosophies began to elevate the mind above the heart. This set the stage for intellectual Christianity as opposed to the early church that glorified God while transforming hearts. So we've got to go back to that model instead of just thinking, you know, just what's in our heads. What's in my head is, it's a mixture. But God has put His Spirit and joined it to my spirit and to your spirit, yes? That's where we need to focus. So when this country was settled and founded, the founding fathers of our great nation knew that a state church was going to reproduce the same corruption of government and religion as occurred in Europe. So you have Christian nations going to war with each other over what? I mean, if we're all one, that doesn't make sense, right? But that's a lot of European history. As a result, the First Amendment was born, which, thank God for that. The Second Amendment and all the amendments, all the Bill of Rights. So we're about to celebrate the founding of these United States, and it is worth celebrating. We want to hand to our children and grandchildren something better than we received, but that's not the course we're on right now. And again, Jesus said we're in the world, but not of it. We are in these United States of America, but we are of the kingdom of heaven. So whether as a president or a janitor, we are to be salt and light. It doesn't matter our station. We're called to be salt and light no matter where God placed us. The Great Commission does not compel us to plan for the rapture. It's going to happen when Jesus returns, yes? We can't make it happen sooner. And He even told us we can't figure out when it's going to happen. So it's amazing how many books and ministries are dedicated to that very thing. You know, Jesus said it can't happen. If He said it can't happen, it's like, I can't lie. It does can't happen. Just don't leave it alone. But we're here to make disciples of all nations and to occupy until He comes. So that the territory that we take, we're to hold and to continue to expand. Yes? Yes. All right. Thank you, Mel. Our founders knew experientially the corruption of a religious system riding on a political system as revealed in Revelation 17 and 18, the harlot riding the beast. So we do not need a state church. We need spirit-filled believers representing Christ in every wholesome field of endeavor. America has experienced some of the greatest revivals in church history. We have. This country in our short history has had some just amazing moves of God, and I think we're going to get another one. That's what I believe. I think the question kind of maybe for us is, are we ready for it? Because revival is messy, and it takes time. It's not maybe what we're used to, but it's what we want. I think we need to distance ourselves from a naturalistic mindset that has been handed down to us through evolutionary education. We were created in the image of God, and I think we should behave like that. Amen? We are not animals with higher brain function. But I was just saying, this is the stuff that gets in it. It affects us, and we start to look back at historical figures and think, well, they don't have the intellect we had. No, I know, it was better. It actually read. So let's open our hearts and engage the Lord in the Spirit. So we're not seeking the enlightenment of the mind. We are seeking an awakening of the inner man. Amen? So I'm not here to convince you of something. I'm here, hopefully, to reveal something. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but you guys finish it, right? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many are here? So let's try that again, okay? For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't God's word amazing? It can say things, it can say so much in such a short amount of time, unlike me. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So take away the Holy Spirit and you create tedious religious projects. I need peace. I need peace. You don't look like you have it. It's a byproduct of His indwelling presence. It's not something we conjure up. All right? Maybe I could have chosen a better word than conjure, but it kind of works. We're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. That's what Daryl said earlier. It's not us. It's not what we do. It's not what we think. It's not what we believe. It's what we've become. That changes what we think and what we do and what we believe. Amen. But we can't do it the other way. I remember I used to hear preachers talk. It used to be a real popular teaching. Just keep putting the word of God in your mind and it'll get down into your heart. My heart's been born again. My mind needs to be renewed. It's the other way around. I need to come into agreement with the work that God's already done. Take away righteousness, you can't find peace, no joy. If you start to break, if you take this apart at all, it doesn't work. Amen? The joy of the Lord is my... Wow, you guys, it's good. Okay, this simple kingdom imperative is perfect if we keep it intact. If we break it up, it doesn't work. Righteousness, peace, and joy, again, are natural byproducts of being in the Spirit. The desire of the believer is not one's best effort. It is a yielded life of faith and trust in a loving Father who will never change from who He is. He is love. How great is that? What if God was the all-powerful one, was the devil, like, you know, he thinks he is? That would be terrible, right? I mean, there would be wars, there would be famine, there would be COVIDs, there would be jabs, there would be all kinds of stuff, right? Okay. I'm just trying to give the devil his due. He's done a good job of messing up humanity. And it started at the beginning. There was the first couple. They listened. I'm just going to talk to you men for a second, husbands. At what point do you say, honey, don't talk to a snake? I mean, I think that's just good advice. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So if you're in the Spirit, the law is not applicable as a method of righteousness. Is that? Thank you. I'm glad. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of us trying harder. We've all done it, right? I just need to be more kind. Yeah. So like righteousness, peace, and joy, the fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of living in and walking in the Spirit. Amen. When we try to live up to these character qualities without a deep and intimate prayer life, it's like sticking our thumbs in God's eye, saying, I can do it on my own, just like Nimrod at the Tower of Babel who said, I'm going to build my own way to heaven. You can't. Get you some bricks, bake them, stick them together, will not get you to heaven. I mean, that sounds like so stupid, but a lot of people got involved in that project, right? There's just a thought that I wasn't going to say this, but I am. The ziggurats were not like smooth like Egyptian. They were stepped. And they were occupied by various deities. And whenever we get into a hierarchical system, we're reproducing that tower. I'm called to be a pastor, but it doesn't make me not a person. I mean, maybe, but... So there's no big I's and little U's. There's no hierarchical structure. Does that make sense? Jesus is the only one that's elevated. He's the Most High. So we know that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, yes? When we reduce it to just another world religion, we've removed it from heaven and handed it over to principalities and powers. In such case, we are no longer children of God, but slaves to an antichrist religious system, always seeking but never finding forgiveness. That's the amazing thing about every other world religion. You can talk to them and you can ask them this one question: are you forgiven? Are you cleansed? And then, no, I don't know. I don't know which one of those deities I've upset that's going to come and get me. I mean, that's torment. We've been set free, yes? Finally, the unity of the Spirit, to be completely humble. That's not me saying it. This is Ephesians 4, 2 through 7. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. Wow. Isn't that cool? I love this because it's broken down into two sections. So Paul's treatise on unity is, like I said, two sections. First, directed at our own part that we play. In other words, that's the first part. Be completely humble and gentle. Don't pray for God to make you humble. You will be humiliated. There's just a lot of stuff. All this is just a byproduct of his life in us. Amen? Second is our true identity. So our true identity is there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So there's a statement about our part. Sometimes maybe when I preach, I'm concerned that people think I'm saying don't try or don't. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't try to be righteous on your own. I am saying that, but don't put any effort in. You put an effort in by reading the scriptures, by prayer, coming together like this, doing the things that God's called you to do. That's our part. But there's a part that we've been brought into by the Spirit, and there's just one body. It's not called Family Worship Center. I know that's a big shock because there's so many of us here. It's not called anything. It's just called the body of Christ. And there's people that have carved out little niches and put their little self deity, because the self is the deity of America, and running their own little kingdoms and getting their bills paid, but it's not building the kingdom of heaven. So it's really important for us to capture this idea of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit, and the unity of the Spirit. It all has to do with the Holy Spirit, his presence and power in us. So again, if we neglect close, personal, and intimate prayer, we begin to lose sight of who and what we are. I mess up when I'm disconnected. Did anybody else, you ever mess up when you... So then you go, I get reconnected, and I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? I know you guys, you're holy, you don't do that. So I'm just going to put these two up and come to a conclusion. Am I an individual who is drawing close to the Lord? Or, as I draw close to the Lord, do I find myself drawing nearer to others who have the same relationship with Jesus? And so it's both. It's not or, it's and. As I draw close to the Lord and someone else is drawing close to the Lord, we're automatically going to get closer. Our struggles with unity have taken place because we're trying to get along with others bound in religious systems who lack the necessary humility to work together for the Lord. I've been in those unity meetings and everyone's jockeying for a position, and I gave up. I want God to do it. I mean, I thought I could do it. I kind of thought I was God, I guess. I realized it only took me about 30 years to figure it out. So if there's a struggle to define who's in charge, the message becomes very generic and non-offensive. We've got to just reduce it to the lowest common denominator so we can all agree. That's ridiculous. I'm constantly challenging myself, and I'm hopefully challenging you. There's so much more. Amen? If we're in the Spirit, the struggle ends. So can we do this? Can we agree that Jesus is in charge, that he is the actual functional and spiritual head of the church? I recognize my role is to represent him. And that's why you need to pray for me, maybe a little more than you are right now. But we're waiting for his leading and his guidance. Amen? When we're close to the Lord, we recognize his headship. And in that moment, a controlling religious spirit has no room to maneuver. That's a terrible thing when a religious spirit gets into a congregation, because it tries to take charge or it tries to subvert. He's the enemy. He's the enemy of all that's good. Everything we do in our lives, hopefully, is birthed in prayer, yes? We got two Aarons here, so it's the Aaron in the back. I don't want to embarrass you. I was out here doing some work, and he was driving by, and he came by, and he brought me a big cup of ice and a bottle of really, that was good water. I think he spent too much on it. You won't lose your reward, by the way. I read that somewhere. It might seem like a simple thing, but it's a big thing to someone who's thirsty. So whatever they're thirsty for, God's going to give you the right water. Amen. So all of our troubles in our homes and in the church are tied to carnality. We are either in the spirit or in the flesh. And yes, that includes religious flesh. So religious flesh isn't one step above flesh. I've tried them all. I'm speaking from experience, though. If we simplify the temptation in the Garden of Eden, it breaks down to do this and you'll be like God. That's religion, right? If we break down the temptation at the Tower of Babel, it is build this and you can reach heaven. And people keep doing it. Everything the Lord has promised us in Christ, the enemy promises us with the caveat that we can achieve it on our own, thus making his promises a lie. The enemy's promises are a lie because he puts a responsibility on us. And so much of it, the Lord's saying, this is what I'm doing for you. Some religions say amazing things like strap on a bomb, blow up some infidels, and you'll earn your way to heaven. I mean, in this environment, that sounds totally ludicrous, right? But look how many people have been seduced to do it. Vandalize the Tree of Life Pregnancy Center and achieve oneness with the universe. And our Father wants partners in his kingdom, and he's provided the Holy Spirit so that we may achieve all that we are to become and do. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. If you're still trying, stop. You'll find peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. As we celebrate communion today, let's do it with the knowledge that there is more that Christ Jesus purchased for us on the cross than we're currently experiencing. Amen.